Welcome back to Reborn Report. I'm DJ Pfeiffer.
And I'm Don Pfeiffer. Well, DJ, in our last podcast, it was all about faith. And it was a good one.
Great.
You know, it's just chock full of Bible revelation knowledge that I have learned through many, many years of studying God's Word. And I found out what real Bible faith is, and I'm starting to experience the results of that, of what God faith does for you in my life. And that's why I'm all fired up, DJ. I'm excited to share this Bible revelation knowledge in this series right here on Reborn Report. I'm convinced and I'm fully persuaded that if you gain the understanding and then apply this type of Bible faith in your life, you will see results that will change your life for the better. I'm telling you, it can be the difference between receiving blessings of healing from God or just simply going without.
Well, and Dad, I have a testimony to that this week as well.
Oh, you do? When do you going to share it now?
Yeah, I'm going to share it now.
Okay.
So this past week, actually, right before we recorded last episode, I submitted my rank list for residency. I talked about that whole process quite a bit in our first episode back, Reborn Report Renewed. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to share too much of the details right now, but I'll just say that I heard from my number one choice residency program, and they told me that they have a guaranteed spot for me and that they were really impressed with my passion and devotion to becoming a family doctor in a small rural area. So they gave me a guaranteed spot into their program.
Wow. Well, DJ, you know how I say, if you seek God and you honor God, he's going to respond to you. And listen, you also said that, which impressed me, last week you said something about your wife said, well, you sure you want to put that you're a Christian in your applications? Not that right. He was embarrassed or anything, but, you know, sometimes when you go for a job interview, they don't want to hear about that stuff. And
exactly.
You know, and you said, no, that's who I am. I'm going to let people know how I feel. And so you're not ashamed of your faith. You're willing to stand on that. And why? Yeah. Because God corresponds to us through when we apply faith in our life, right? And your testimony is an example of that. It kind of is like from your God's spirit to your spirit. And our spirit has to line up with his spirit, doesn't it, TJ? And it really doesn't matter how hard you pray or how emotional you get when you pray. You can pray with all the hope in the world, but those things are just man's religious ways, and they produce very little result. Why?
Well, because God is reality, not just religion.
Exactly. And God is a faith God. That's just how he operates, by and through faith. Doesn't he, DJ?
Exactly.
Hebrews 11:6 even tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So then, do you really believe that God will bring blessings and supernatural healing in your body if you're not pleasing him? No, of course not. At least not very often. Well, it might happen occasionally because God is merciful. The Bible even calls God the Father of all mercy, doesn't he, DJ? But God's word makes it very clear that God is moved when we trust him and we put our faith in him, not by our emotions or our religion. No. And, you know, if my saying that offends you, I'm sorry, but I'll make no apologies for it, because the truth is revealed to us just that in God's word. It's not man's religion. Like you said.
Wait, so you're sorry, but you're not going to make an apology?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I guess.
It's a little blurred lines there.
Well, but like you said, God's reality, right? He's not religion.
Right.
And the Bible even tells us in that same chapter of Hebrews that those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And your testimony is evidence of that. And it's really plain and simple. If we're willing to take off our religious colored glasses and see God for who he really is, he desperately wants a personal, loving relationship with you. He's not only your creator, he's your heavenly father, and he's gooder than you know. There, DJ, I said it again, gooder.
Yeah.
So
one of your new words. So if you haven't seen last week's episode, I highly recommend and encourage you to go back and watch it, because we're just going to be building up on that knowledge base that we kind of laid the foundation of last week, right, Dad?
Right. And even if you did watch it again, because it's packed with the information that you need for Bible-believing faith to rise up in your spirit, like DJ said, to gain supremacy in your mind and change your natural way of thinking and acting into God's ways. Then you will experience the real Bible results, the real supernatural power of God in your life.
And really, Dad, it's not that it's hard or very difficult, because really God does all the work. His word is what really does the changing.
That's right.
The effort on our part is just to humble ourselves, be honest and open, set aside every thought and notion that goes against what his word says. Mm-hmm. Because of our own human pride, our religious pride, the only real effort on our part is to just get out of the way and let God's word change our minds and the way we think.
Right.
And that's exactly what Paul says, like we read in last week in Romans 12:2, or maybe it was the week before, but we read it all the time, says, "Do not copy the customs and behaviors of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, and then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect."
Now, notice Paul's words there, DJ, learn to know. That implies that you got some learning to do before you know.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And like how he says God's will for you, it's good, pleasing, and perfect. Well, good and pleasing and perfect for who? For God? No, because God is already good and pleasing and perfect, right? That's who he is. He's already that.
Right.
He's all-knowing. He's sinless. He's eternal. The good, pleasing, and perfect part that Paul's talking about is what you will think after you've allowed him to change you. Right? That's why I always say, DJ, God knows how to make me happier than I do. The important question is, how much are you really going to allow him to change you? How much trust are you going to put in him? How much are you going to really believe it? Right? How much are you going to allow him to do?
Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you remain faithful to my words, you are my disciples indeed, and the truth will set you free."
Oh, that just puts an exclamation point on what I just said, DJ. That says it all, doesn't it?
Yep.
And remember, he's called the great I am for good reason, because God's word happens. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we ended last week by reading part of John chapter 17, remember, DJ? It was a prayer that Jesus had with his heavenly father. And I want to encourage you, our audience, to read it, not just once, but over and over and over again, as many times as necessary, for it to really sink in, penetrate deep in your mind, and get grounded in your spirit. Why? Because this passage of scripture are words from the very heart of Jesus, revealing his great love and his relationship, not just with his heavenly father, but with us as well. And I believe we all desperately need to hear and understand that prayer. God is an awesome God. And if we really grasp a hold of that and grasp a hold of his extraordinary love, we can accomplish extraordinary things. things we cannot gain access to if we remain in our natural sense-based knowledge and faith. Right, DJ?
Because real Bible faith comes to us only in one way. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God.
Right. And the truth is, we need to hear it over and over and over again, don't we? God's word has a type of pounding effect in your spirit. You have to hear it more than once or twice before it gets in you and starts to be effective. And it's like you said, DJ, it's not that it's that hard, but because we're so stubborn and prideful that we struggle, right?
Yeah, but the Bible is not like any other written words known to man. In Hebrews 4:12, it explains just how effective God's word really is. It says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires."
Just think about that. Read that verse over and over. That's very revealing, yeah. Isn't it?
I will say that my pastor said that in church today, because if those of you who are just watching and listening to this on Mondays don't know, we record this on the Sunday the day before, but my pastor said that in church today, and he pointed out the fact that God calls the sword, or the Bible, a sword, and he says, a sword does you no good if you don't know how to use it, and the Bible doesn't do you any good if you don't read it.
Well, that's good. Your pastor's a good guy. So I challenge all of our listeners to meditate on this stuff. Let it soak deep inside you, like DJ's pastor said. And if you do, it will change you. It will cleanse you. It will heal you. It will empower your life in ways you could never do on your own. I know what I'm talking about. I know that it's true. I've experienced it in my own life, and so has DJ, and it will work in your life too. But hey, don't take our word on it. Try it for yourself. But you have to be sincere. You have to be honest. You have to humble yourself. And you have to show God you're serious by putting some real effort into it and put some time into it. You know what I'm saying, DJ? And then God will respond to you. He will reward you.
Yeah, you just can't be lazy.
Right.
In fact, he promises that in his word. In Jeremiah 29:11-13, God says, "If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you."
Oh, I love that. I love that scripture. And he also says this, DJ, right after that, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future with hope." Praise God. This kind of stuff gets me all fired up inside.
Yeah, you can't really have depression and anxiety when you read scriptures like that.
No, it's kind of like blueberry pie, DJ.
It's like what?
Blueberry pie.
Okay. How so?
Remember the blueberry pie your sister Joelle made for us a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah.
He made us a beautiful homemade blueberry pie, hot out of the oven. And remember she said, "Don't touch it till it's cooled off." Remember that, DJ?
Yeah, but we couldn't wait. It smelled so good. We couldn't wait.
And it's not that blueberry pie is our all-time favorite or anything, but that pie was special, wasn't it? Remember, we just couldn't stop eating it.
We ate the whole thing in like a matter of like 10 minutes.
Well, that pie was to die for. I don't know what it was, but that pie was the best pie we ever had, wasn't it, Deej?
It sure was.
Bar none. Not even close. I've never had anything close to that since. Now, she's made plenty of pies since and given them to us, but they're not just the same. And every time I say that to her, she thinks, "You're crazy, Dad." She says, "I use the exact same recipe." But I always say to her, "I don't know, Joelle, there was something special about that pie." Wasn't there?
There was. There was.
I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I think it must have been the blueberries. They were just like perfectly ripe or something.
Now, I'm telling you this story to say this. That is exactly how it is when you get real Bible faith in your spirit, when it's in your mind. God's word becomes very special, and it's very good, doesn't it, DJ? It is.
Yep, just like Joelle's blueberry pie.
That's right. Well, DJ, today I want to continue our series and talk about redemption. We touched on it a little bit last week, And now that I'm thinking about it, we probably should have done this podcast before last week's podcast on faith.
Why is that?
Well, because a good understanding of your redemption will help you lead into Bible-believing faith, if you think about it. But that's okay. That's true. Our viewers can go back and watch last week's episode. What did you entitle it, DJ, last week?
Have faith in your
faith. Oh, that's right. That was pretty tricky. That's good. Now, I'll start today's topic with this. The Bible declares in Psalm 107, verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, it's time for you to admit just how much God loves you. DJ, I believe many Christians are not so zealous about doing this because they really don't understand their redemption. They don't fully realize just who and what they have in Christ. And if you don't fully understand your redemption, your faith will be weak and your blessings will be limited, which, by the way, is not God's will for your life. So, what is redemption? Well, Webster's dictionary defines redemption with these words. It says, to buy back, repurchase, to free from what distresses or harms. It says, to be free from captivity by payment of ransom, to release from blame or debt, to free from the consequences of sin, to change for the better. That's Webster's definition of redemption.
Now, I can hear people in the audience saying, I don't really care what Webster has to think about it. What does redemption mean in the Bible? Is it the same as Webster's definition? Is it different? Well, what do you have to say about that?
Let's take a close look at our instruction book for life, DJ, the Bible, and see if we can find out what redemption is to God and then should mean to us as believers, right? First, in the Old Testament, the idea of redemption is pretty important. Under the Mosaic law, firstborn spotless animals were sacrificed to cover the sins of man. But probably the most illustrative event of redemption in the Old Testament is in Exodus, where Israel is redeemed and God acts as their redeemer. Moses recounts God's words to his people when he says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their slavery. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. That's powerful. And later on, David addresses God by saying, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And even Isaiah also understood the importance of that title when he quoted God by saying, Fear not, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. I am the Holy One, your redeemer. But here's what applies to us today, DJ. In the New Testament, redemption over and over and over again refers supremely to the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, whereby he purchases us. I can't say that word. You say it.
Purchases us.
Yeah, there you go. He ransoms us at a price of his own life, securing our deliverance from the bondage and the condemnation of our sin. Jesus laid down his own life for a ransom. That's awesome.
In fact, our lives were forfeited into the hands of divine justice by our own sin, really.
Oh, that's good.
But,
well, it's not
but
good.
Christ...
By, good point.
Yeah. I see what you meant. But Christ, by parting with his sinless life, and so he rescued our lives, really. Mm-hmm. He was made sin, a curse for us, and he died not only for our good, but in our place.
Wow, that's amazing. That's simply amazing. DJ, human language begins to fail me to describe just how awesome that is.
Right. And going even further into the Bible, Paul explains this gracious justification. He said in Romans 3, chapter 3, verses 22-25, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. Wow. He did it through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin, so people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus shed his blood and sacrificed his life. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Wow. God did it to demonstrate his righteousness. God is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus.
Wow. TJ, that's awesome. That alone should be enough for you to never again think that you're unworthy or undeserving or not good enough, because God says right. You are.
Yeah, and Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 19, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price.
Yeah, and then when Paul was writing to the Colossians, he gave thanks to his heavenly Father when he said, who delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. That's Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
And to Timothy in the Ephesians, Paul said, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. That's 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6.
Wow. And then Paul also reminded Titus. He said, he reminded him of the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And listen to this, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all the lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. That's Titus 2, 13 and 14. And there's more. Sounds like an info commercial, doesn't it? Wait, there's more. When speaking to the Galatians, Paul said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. That's Galatians 3, 13. And he elaborated on that point in the next chapter, verses 4 and 5, when he said, when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman, born under the Old Testament law, now listen closely, to redeem those who were under the law so we might be received and adopted as sons. Think about that. God looks at you and me as our listeners, as sons and or daughters, because of what Jesus did, what he did for us. Man, that's awesome. So unlike the Old Testament priests who had to offer sacrifices for themselves and for the people by means of the blood and the goats and the calves just to cover sin, Jesus in the New Testament is a mediator of a better covenant because he sacrificed his own sinless life, DJ. Like DJ said, he sacrificed his own blood, sinless, on the merits of his own righteousness. And that made Jesus the perfect sacrifice, didn't it, DJ?
Furthermore, Dad, the blood of Jesus Christ is more effective than the Old Testament sacrifices because it cleanses your conscience.
Yes.
It forgives sins, yes, and it obtains eternal redemption.
Wow.
So Jesus' death accomplished complete redemption once and for all.
You see, Jesus doesn't just merely cancel your debts, DJ. He liquidates them completely. Doesn't he?
You're right.
And if you're a Christian, in God's eyes, you are now his righteous child because of what the Son Jesus did. You should believe it, not because we say so, but because God's word tells you so. And finally, here's the icing on the cake, DJ. In Revelation
chapter... The icing on the blueberry pie?
In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, John, through a vision, reports that he heard those in heaven singing a new song, exclaiming, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, referring to Jesus. By your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every nation. You have made them a kingdom to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Praise God, how great is that? And if that doesn't open your eyes to what God is and how much he loves you and bring joy into your heart and get your spirit all fired up, fully knowing just who and what you have through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, then you're just not paying attention, or you're already dead. But seriously, knowing this information and these biblical revelations that we're talking about will put your faith on the pathway that will line you up with God, God faith, which in turn brings rewards and results through your faith into your life. But wait, there's even more. There's the infomercial.
Oh, back to the infomercial.
There's healing for your physical body. It's also included in that redemption. Now, we don't have the time to get into all that today, and get into all the details of it, but we will in the upcoming episodes of Reborn Report. So you want to stay tuned in.
Is that from your new upcoming book?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, for today, Dad, to kind of summarize everything, the biblical truth that we talked about today is this. God sees you as worthy and righteous because of the sacrifice his son did, freely giving his sinless life on the cross for your redemption. And that redemption is totally complete.
Right. It's for your spirit. It's for your soul, which is your mind, your feelings, and your emotions. And it is for your physical body. And when you come to understand that Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, just because we owe a debt we cannot pay, you will start to see just how much God loves you. Then you'll begin to believe and understand just how much he's willing to do for you. Verses like Philippians 4:13 will jump out at you and come to life, so to speak, and they'll begin to be active in your life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's many, Amen. Many, many more scriptures just like that one, DJ. So I'll end today by leaving you with a saying that I hold dearly. It goes like this. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And listen, you should be wise and pay attention to that. Meditate on it because it's Bible revelation truth. I'll say it again. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Apply that to how you think about God and what you think about the Bible. It will reveal how much you really believe it. And that may surprise you.
Well, Dad, since you left the viewers and listeners with a saying that you hold dearly, I'll leave you with one I hold dearly.
Okay.
You might have heard it before.
Okay.
Never forget, no matter where you go, there you are.
You stole that from Marty Conlon. Yeah. Remember, he'd leave our house and he'd say, where are you going? He goes, well, I got to go up around the up around the corner. Where are you going, Marty?
Yeah.
Up around the corner. No matter where you go, there you are. Yeah.
And he'd ask, say, oh, hey, you want to stay for dinner? He'd say, no, I ate last week.
I ate last week. I'm good. So, DJ, unless God leads us elsewhere, next week we will start God's Will to Heal. You won't want to miss it because it can change your life. So please, like DJ said last week, we're begging you, come back. Join us next week right here on Reborn Report, where the Word of God will get you all fired up and make you happy too. See ya.
See you guys. Bye. Love you, Dad.
See you, Deej. You won't want to miss it because it can literally. And you won't want...
Hang on. Yeah. This is going in the blooper reel at the end. Okay.